Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level and see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup.
Sportsnet today. Listen on the air, online, on the Sportsnet app, and always on your smart speaker. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
Let's get it going on a Wednesday. Welcome to Sportsnet today here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Coming at you live from our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios. In beautiful Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Logan Gordon and Aaron Vickers along with us this afternoon.
How's it going, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you along for the ride. Looking forward to this. You're going to be along on Sportsnet today a couple days over the next couple weeks. Looking forward to that. You're going to be on Flames Talk with Pat, which you did a bit last week too. How was that?
Oh, I love tormenting Pat. It's like I volunteer for that any chance I get. If I can walk into the studio and make him laugh, make him blush and annoy him, then you sign me up for that gig all day, every day.
Perfect. Looking forward to more of that. We got a busy show coming your way. We'll chat with Peter Labardius in just moments here. It is a Calgary Flames game day. Preseason game 7 of 8. We're almost there, Aaron. Just a home and home away from wrapping this thing up, and tonight the Winnipeg Jets, a very NHL-heavy lineup for the Flames. We're almost out of preseason action here.
I am going to be the rare minority that's kind of disappointed in that, just because I like to see a lot of the different combinations that get thrown about. I like to see who does what, where, especially the guys fighting for jobs, fighting for careers, fighting for a gig in the NHL. Most of all, though, I'm not looking forward to the exhibition season ending, because there's 5 days off in between the last exhibition game and the start of the regular season for the Flames. Not a big fan of that one.
No, that's an unfortunate one, yeah. But then we got a couple of days to ramp up as the Colorado Avalanche start off. It's a very home-heavy schedule for the Calgary Flames. But let's kick off the program like we always do, welcoming in our Flames insider for the Gemini Group, Peter Labardius, this afternoon. Good afternoon, Lou. How are you, pal?
Hey, a two-man show with me today.
One and a half.
Mr. Vickers.
One and a half, more like it, Lou. You give me too much credit, buddy.
You know what? One thing we're going to stop on this show, except I get to do it because I'm the old guy, no more self-deprecation.
It's going to be a hard habit to break.
It is going to be. It's actually a pretty lovely thing. Nice to have you along, AV, for the ride this afternoon.
Lou, of course, is always brought to you by our friends at the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style, your home. Your Gemini Group Home Renovations knows that your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Well, Lou, let's kick things off ahead of game 7 of 8 of the preseason for the Calgary Flames by looking at the lineup that Daryl Sutter is going to deploy tonight in Winnipeg. Very NHL heavy. Of course, it'll start at the top with the top line that got the night off the other night at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. We're looking at Huberto, Lindholm, Toffoli. We'll see another reuniting of Mangiapane, Kadri, and Dubé. That's a continuation from last game. The newcomer off of waivers, Radim Zahorna, getting a start on the left side between Adam Ruzicka and Blake Coleman. Lucic, Rooney, Richie, and your D pairings as follows. Uyghur with Tanev, Zadorov with Anderson, Hanifin with Stone, Dan Vladar will start in goal for the Calgary Flames. Your thoughts on the lines and pairings for tonight, Lou?
Well, I'm all in, guys, on the defense tonight, and I think there's a couple of interesting stories. We focused a lot on the forwards during the camp to see whether it's talking about PTOs or who's going to grab a potential top six spot. But the other ongoing story that has received some attention, maybe not as much, is who's going to be paired with who and who's going to play together on defense come opening night. And there's two things that, well, maybe a combination of three. So let's start with one pairing. It is not Hanifin and Tanev. It is not Hanifin and Anderson. It is Hanifin and Michael Stone. Now, I don't know what else we can say about Michael Stone outside of the fact that all this guy does every time he gets in a Calgary Flames jersey is find a way to get ice time in the National Hockey League. Now, with Oliver Shillington away right now, and doesn't seem like he's returning anytime soon, I don't think there's any question that, you know, he has as good a chance as any to not only be on the roster, but more importantly for me, on the opening night lineup. Now, Noah Hanifin, for sure, coming off a really good season. I did think that the game the other night and even in a couple other games in the preseason, he's fought it just a tad. I'm not reading a whole lot into this, guys, except for the fact that you have to go in to those games early, especially against Colorado and Edmonton, feeling pretty comfortable with all three of your groups. So interesting to see those guys together. But maybe the biggest story on defense in the camp so far has been the improved play of Nikita Zadorov. I joke a lot, either, you know, off the air or on the air, about when he kind of gets all over the place. I call it Nikita's world. I haven't seen a lot of that so far in the preseason. And in fact, neither is assistant coach Ryan Huska. And the coaching staff, even Daryl has pointed him out in this preseason, is quite impressed with the strides that the 27-year-old has made.
Well, for one, I think he came in a different mind frame. Like, I think he really knew what expectations were of him and how much harder, I guess I can say, he realized that he had to work. And, you know, he took his summer and he used it the right way, where he was on the ice earlier than he's ever been before. He's worked out harder than he ever has before, and he came back in better shape. So he spent the summer doing his job, and in, you know, part of what he wants is some more opportunity to play in different situations against some better players. So to be thought of not just as a 5-6 guy. So he's come in and done a really good job in that area, and he's kept his game very simple. So sometimes with Nikita, it's the tendency to drift around a little bit, and he's done a really good job of simplifying his game, being in the right position, moving the puck quick like we want all of our defensemen to do, yet still play very physical, which we've seen in the preseason from him so far. So we're happy and excited about that.
Played 24 minutes the other night. Very effective. So I'm going to throw it back at you guys. Was that your reaction today when you saw the pairings? And starting with you, Logan, how have you felt in what you've seen in the Flames number 16 so far in the preseason?
Yeah, I think it was a rocky start for Nikita going back to last training camp. I think we saw some of those games. Best way I can describe it, guys, I think it was a bit of a roller coaster at times. We saw some of the good of Nikita Zadorov as he settled in, and then we saw some of those, you know, maybe a little tad over physical sometimes, a bit of that, you know, not great when it came to exiting the zone with the puck sometimes. But yeah, I've seen a pretty, I think, mature Nikita Zadorov coming in and coming back to a situation that he's comfortable in. And I'd be curious if you feel the same way, Aaron.
Lou, you called it Nikita's world. I call it freelancing a little bit, where you'd see him grab the puck and just sort of roam, and not really with a plan or an agenda, just kind of picked up the puck and would wander about until he worked himself into a dead end for the most part. And we saw him grow throughout the rest of the season last year, where he was making smarter choices. He was thinking a bit more. He was moving the puck faster. And I think that was just the adjustment of having Daryl Sutter as head coach. And coming into this training camp this year now, he has a year under his belt with Daryl. He knows what the system is. He knows what the expectation is. And he really became, for lack of a better term, a student of Daryl Sutter's school of defending. And that's what we're seeing out of him now, the product of his education, if you will.
Well, AV, and you're a guy who follows prospects very, very closely. So we remember going back to his time in the Ontario Hockey League in London, the whole package is there as far as the physical tool set. He's a first round pick, but he has never really settled in for any length of time. And one of the reasons the Flames obviously opted to re-sign him is for the first time in his career, they feel like he's getting closer to that. Arguably, some of the best hockey I've seen him play was in the back half of last year. And then if you return to 2019 in the playoff round against Calgary, that might be as solid as I've seen him, certainly over a five-game span.
Yeah, you think back to his junior year. You mentioned London. He was the 16th overall pick in the 2013 draft by the Buffalo Sabres. Like, he was highly, highly touted in his draft year. But he was always a package that was going to take probably longer than the average defenseman to develop, because he was coming in as an 18-year-old being, you know, 6'5", 6'6", 220 pounds. He had all the individual attributes. He could skate. He could hit. He had a bit of vision to his game. But it was just him putting it all together is what's was going to take some time. And now that he's in his technically fourth NHL organization at age 27, I think we're seeing those pieces come together.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, maturity doesn't happen for everybody at the same time. We see that a lot. And Logan, Chris Tanev, he never surprises me. But to come back off shoulder surgery and just be, you know, so on top of his game was an absolute pleasure to watch. And I'm really looking forward to, and I'm not saying this is how it's going to go next week when it really matters in earnest, but I'm looking forward to seeing our first Uyghur Tanev in a game combination. You know, outside of the fact that it's not a righty lefty scenario, I could really see those guys complementing one another very well and likely leading this team in ice time and being, you know, closer to a true number one pairing than not. But I don't want to get too excited too quickly. I see a lot of good things.
No, 100%. And that goes back to the game that Chris had the other night coming back from his injury in the playoffs and just looking like he was in mid-season form. And I think everybody that's watched any bit of preseason can see some of the good things that Mackenzie Weegar's done. And it's just always interesting, Lou, because you always, not just you, but everyone talks about how you can put Chris Tanev with seemingly anyone and it just makes that other person better. Well, Mackenzie's already a pretty good defenseman. You just sort of sit there and salivate wondering what that pairing could look like if there is room to improve for either of these guys.
Well, you'll hear more about the whole defense. That was obviously the focus of my conversation for Flames warm-up tonight, getting started at 5 o'clock today. And I did ask Ryan about Mackenzie Weegar and what he's observed and what he's liked. And, you know, his comment to me is and AV, this is something that you learn, I truly believe, only by watching a guy with your own two eyes in person on a regular basis. His skating ability to close gaps, you know, he'll run you over when he needs to. I was delighted when I saw he was included in that Tkachuk trade. I was almost as stunned with his addition as I was Huberto's addition. And so I think people in Calgary are really going to grow to appreciate this guy really, really quickly.
Yeah, he's got a lot of the elements of a fan favorite in his game. And you're right. If you can watch as much video as you want, and granted, I'm not going to be the first to claim that I watched 82 Florida Panthers games last year, so I didn't have a great book on Mackenzie Weegar coming in. And again, watching on video, you get to see what the camera shows you. You don't necessarily get to see all the elements, all the details in a player's game, especially a defenseman. It drives me nuts at times when you're scouting, to be perfectly honest. But having the opportunity to see Mackenzie Weegar now and how he sort of, for lack of a better term, conducts his business on the ice in all three zones, he's got the makings of somebody that's going to make Calgary Flames fans very happy, I feel.
And in the case of Noah Hanifin, not a ton to read in, but I don't think it's unfair to suggest, and it's only the preseason, that Nikita Zadorov would like to take some minutes away from him.
Well, how would you go about... How would you go about splitting up this defense if it's sort of roughly what we're seeing tonight? Because you've got three pairs that I feel like Daryl Sutter would be comfortable rolling out 20 minutes a night, just keep throwing them over the boards depending on special team situation.
Aaron, I won't be surprised if this is how it starts next Thursday. I won't. Because the hardest thing for me, you know, when I think about this group has been, you know, Zadorov. And, you know, if Oliver Shillington was here, I don't know why I feel this way. There's probably not a great deal of merit to it. I do see growth in Zadorov. I'm not sure I see Shillington and, you know, Zadorov being a fit. Now, what I like about this pairing situation is, you know, when you have Michael Stone, you know what you're going to get. And your concern about Michael, you know, against speedy teams with elite level forwards is not all the little things, but you'd sure like to have a guy with him, you know, capable of playing, especially on the road. And that's the other thing about tonight too. You know, I think you're going to see a lot of different scenarios with this defense. I wouldn't be surprised a lot of nights if, you know, depending on power plays, penalty kill, we're going to see a lot of different things, offensive zone, defensive zone, and because this team has the luxury. But in Noy, you've got a great skater, and when he's at the top of his game, you know, an excellent defender. So it would not shock me to see these three pairings next Thursday night at Scotiabank Saddledome when the season begins in earnest.
So let's look at the defense heading into tonight. There's one name on the forward group that we want to focus on today on the hit as well, Lou, and that's, of course, the waiver claim that the Calgary Flames made from the Pittsburgh Penguins the other day, and Radim Zahorna. He is with the team, got a skate in with them yesterday, and will be in the lineup tonight on a line with Adam Ruzicka and Blake Coleman. I guess just your anticipation level to see him for the first time, Lou, and why would this be the spot that they start him in his Calgary Flames tenure?
Well, let's talk first off about why he's here in the first place. Do you guys agree that the reason that is the other PTOs have not really put a stake in the ground?
Yes.
That's my thought. So that's where I'd begin, Logan. I think anytime somebody comes into your organization and is brand new. Now, this is a guy who played 17 games last season with Pittsburgh. He's got some skill. In fact, now my viewings certainly are limited, and I have not had one yet in person, only on television or on video. But I actually see some similarity in their games between Ruzicka and him. You know, they're both big bodies. They can both make some plays. And yet I would guess, I'm more familiar obviously with Adam, but maybe what's held Zahorna back is he's not the most physical guy, which always frustrates people in the sport. So he didn't have a point in his first three preseason games in Pittsburgh. And I think a part of the fit tonight, and you guys might laugh, and feel free to do so, I'm a big boy, in making somebody feel comfortable, isn't it helpful that two guys who speak the same language play together?
Yep.
I'm not saying that's the number one reason, but part of, you know, indoctrinating somebody and making them feel comfortable, that could be a bit of an advantage. And as far as, you know, the other player, well, all you've done is you've put those guys together with about as consummate, responsible a pro who, by the way, Blake Coleman to me in the preseason looks like he has benefited substantially from actually having a proper summer to train and get ready. So really looking forward to, you know, Zahorna. I don't have high expectations, but the door is open, and see if he makes a great first impression.
you're right, Lou, in that there's a reason he's here, and a big part of that reason is two PTOs in Eakin and Milano haven't really solidified their standing within the organization or within the lineup. So it is kind of curious that we see the newly claimed forward in the lineup tonight, and the two PTOs are going to be watching. What do you think about that?
I don't disagree. I absolutely don't disagree. I think there's certainly something to read into. For my money, Eakin has been a lot closer than Milano. Milano just, he hasn't done very much. And he's an offensive guy. Some would suggest, you know, he hasn't been put. And I thought in one game he might be put, you know, I thought he might even play with Kadri the other night just to take a peek. But in his other situations, he hadn't done enough to warrant it. And when you get to this point in the preseason, you're really trying to gear up for next week. So I think Eakin might still maybe be in the mix, but ask yourself this. All the guys with contracts and all the different roles they play, who's he going to beat out of a job for the 13th spot?
Well, there's that element, and then there's also the waivers element. That, and I get that there's going to be 100 to 125 players on waivers in the next few days with the massive dump as everybody tries to finalize their 22 or 23-man roster, but there's also taking a job and then risking the option of losing. And one of those players that might be in that conversation is Ruzicka, who is required to pass through waivers. So not only does one of Eakin or Milano have to take a job, they have to take a job to the point where the Calgary Flames are comfortable losing another body potentially.
And we haven't seen that.
Not at all, no.
On either front. And, you know, to lay it out more AV hockey-wise, tonight's lineup's a perfect example. Trevor Lewis is playing opening night and every other night as long as he's healthy. And I think he's going to start next week with Lucic on the left and Rooney in the middle. That's my guess. Maybe even gets bumped up a little bit. Who knows?
Yeah, but, I can see that exact thing happening for sure.
Yeah, and Cody Eakin is kind of in a position where, are you going to take a job from Brett Ritchie or be a better option? Or, you know, you're not doing that with Lewis. So contracts, as you said, they do. They play a significant role. And I don't think there's any doubt that the Flames desperately want Adam Ruzicka to turn the corner. But it hasn't happened yet. I will say this, though. Of all his preseason efforts, the one the other night was by far and away for me his best.
Before we let you go here, Lou, wanted to get a chance to focus in a bit on the Winnipeg Jets. We'll see them at the Scotiabank Sound Dome on Friday for the preseason finale, but our first chance to see them in this preseason, and it's an interesting offseason to look back on for Winnipeg. Not in the sense of the Flames, where they've had, you know, massive roster turnover, but more in the sense that they've had massive leadership turnover in Winnipeg.
I think some of us thought there might be some big overhauls as far as players are concerned. Logan, I'm going to throw this back at you. It's not the first time you've heard this. It might be the first time that Aaron has heard it, though. In Winnipeg, Rick Bonus comes in. So we know everything we really need to know about Rick. You know, been coaching for a million years, has done a good job in every role, by and large, he's ever been in. He takes the C and the organ, and that wasn't just Rick's decision. That's a massive organizational decision. And from people in Winnipeg that I talk to on a regular basis, it's become interesting to me. I'd make this analogy. Wheeler and Scheifele have kind of become, in Winnipeg, at least the way I see it, to what DeRozan and Lowry were with the Raptors before Masai Ujiri just decided, hey, I know they're best pals, they're both really, really good players, but we're not taking another step. And I see some real similarities, and I felt this way for the last couple of years. I think the time has come in Winnipeg, and, you know, Mark and Blake are incredibly close. They have kind of, from what I've ascertained, run the show a little bit there. And Mark is a great kid. But I think it's time for him now to potentially become what Kyle Lowry became with the Raptors after DeRozan moved on. Now, Blake hasn't moved on. It's going to be a very tricky thing for the Jets to negotiate, but they've made one big step already in trying to address that they think there's something broken in terms of leadership and what goes on in that room. Logan, how do you feel about that analogy?
No, I think it's fair. I think that we've kind of gone through this all through last year, wondering what was wrong with the Winnipeg Jets, going back to Paul Maurice feeling as though he had lost the room and wasn't able to command, you know, the team in the same way, and walking away from it. I think that was the first sign that that sort of change needed to happen. Paul Maurice is a very smart hockey man, Lou. You know that as well as anybody. And for him to feel that way, Aaron, I thought said everything about where the Jets were going. And I think that it's still probably a group, even though Rick Bowness is there and has made some major changes already when it comes to that leadership group, namely stripping Blake Wheeler of the captaincy. It's kind of hard when that looms over your group, knowing that Blake's still there and maybe isn't content.
Well, it's going to be a bit of a, I don't want to say a gray cloud or a rain cloud or a storm cloud over the organization, but that is far and away the biggest story out of Winnipeg this summer when you look at the Jets organization. And I just look at the team and I go, are they getting better? And if you're not getting better, you're not going the right way in the NHL. So you're not improving necessarily. You're just rolling out, by and large, a lot of the same bodies and a lot of the same leadership group, but you're not improving. You're not rebuilding. You're kind of stuck in the mud. And I'll be curious to see this year how much of this team becomes Kyle Connor's team, or we see a step from Cole Perfetti, or we even see Brad Lambert, vie for a top six role and have some of the younger core, if you will, or the future core, step in and take more ownership and responsibility with this team.
If you want different, you have to do different. And I still think this is time, if he wants it, for Mark Scheifele to help take control of this group and be it more his team in some respects. And we know this. Adam Lowry, Josh Morrissey. Guys, I'm not kidding when I say this. They have some of the finest people in hockey in that room. And that's – but I also know – and been around a long time, that sometimes people are not in a position to lead until others aren't in that role anymore, even though they're more than capable. So I'm always fascinated by the dynamics, not just what goes on the ice. And that one is an interesting one to follow for me.
Lou, appreciate the time as always. We'll do it again tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight. Have a great call, and enjoy the rest of your day, pal.
Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your show.
Thank you. Peter Labardius, who joins us for the Gemini Group every single day here on Sportsnet Today. Today, of course, ahead of a Calgary Flames game day, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. They know that your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. Wednesday means a chat with our fantasy football expert, Andy McNamara. He's coming up next in just moments. You can start to get your questions in for Ask Andy ahead of Week 5 in the NFL. You've got fantasy questions. Andy has fantasy answers. 960-960 on the text line. Ask Andy coming up next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
To Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I never thought I'd hear my heartbeat so loud. I can't believe there's something left in my chest anymore. But goddamn, you got me in love again.
Sportsnet Today rolls on. this Wednesday afternoon. Logan Gordon, Aaron Vickers along with you. And we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline for our weekly chat with our pal, our fantasy football guru, the one and only Andy McNamara. AMC, how are you, pal?
Gentlemen, week five just about upon us. Doing good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great, pal. Thanks for hopping on with us. Always enjoy these chats. There's a couple things to get to before we dive in. Of course, Ask Andy's coming up in just moments. We've already got a bunch of questions on the text line, 960-960. You continue to get those ready for us. We'll do Ask Andy in a couple of moments. But first things first, Andy, look, I appreciate you. You're one of the Hall of Fame tier guests that we have here on the station. We're good pals, but it is friends off for us this week, of course, as your Browns meet my Chargers. And Aaron Vickers, if you're wondering how depressing mine and Andy's life is on a consistent basis, cheering for both of those teams, you'd be correct. It is just a continuation of mediocrity for both of us.
It's great to finally see somebody else admit they're a Browns fan for once. Now, for the record, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan, so I know a little bit about struggling with you know, cheering your team on. But good for you, Andy, you know, putting it out there and acknowledging your fandom.
That's what you want to hear. Good for you. What a brave guy. I know. Just the constant pity of being a Browns fan. Just like, thanks, guys. Thank you. Yeah, it's tough.
Aaron, you might not know this about Andy, but AMC has taken on some of the greats that have disappointed the Browns. Andy McNamara has gone toe-to-toe with Johnny Manziel on Twitter in a back-and-forth, and he hasn't stood down for 1 second. Andy's Browns fan till he dies.
That's right. I took him out. Over a million, sadly, my most impressive interactions on, like, stats on Twitter was my back and forth when I KO'd Johnny Wannabe Football. He blocked me. Aaron, he challenged me to a fight.
Did he set a time and place?
He said, hope you don't see it. I was like, guy, we obviously won't be walking on the same streets. So, please, I would love, listen, I would take a punch from Johnny. You get to sue him. Be set. We should all be so lucky.
He'd probably miss you.
Parents are oil barons.
He'd probably miss you, Aaron says.
I'm too tall. Yeah. We would say, Johnny, pick the middle one.
Yeah, he's not known for his accuracy with his right hand anyway, so you should be fine. Now, we have another controversy to go over, and this is spilled over from our lovely morning show with Russick and Rose. We have a 960 league here at Sportsnet, and I'm getting raked across the coals for a trade that I made with one of the new guys that we have here at work, Andy, and the text line's been going off about it, and I need your opinion. They need your opinion on this, whether it was fair or foul by me. I think I played by the rules, and I think I did everything straight up, but the fans need to know. So here's the deal.
Okay.
This is Alex's first time playing fantasy football. I'm not claiming that he's played for a long time or anything like that, but I offered him a trade after he lost Javonte Williams to the torn ACL. I traded CEH and Darren Waller for Travis Kelce, and I am being raked across the coals as taking advantage of Alex in this situation. I just want you to clarify and, you know, tell the people that I didn't do anything wrong in this situation, Andy. I think that's just fine.
Logan, I'm totally with you. Here, listen, first of all, if you put a trade out there, no one's forcing anybody to accept. If you accept, just like in real life football, there are some bad deals that go down that teams accept. It's not your fault. You put it out there and it was accepted. If we look at the name, power, and draw and potential of a Darren Waller, now, Logan, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not out there coaching up Darren Waller. It's not your fault he's only had one double-digit fantasy.
No, I am not.
So far this year. It's not your fault. They're coming out of the bye. Look, coming out of the bye out of week six, they play Houston. Could be a great matchup. New Orleans defense kind of tough. Jacksonville in the middle. You got a nice one. Darren Waller could play out just fine. I think it is totally on board. You got a CH who any given week as far as a safety net running back you can plug in. You don't want to, but you could. I think the deal's fine.
There. Russick, Rose, Brody, and the rest of you.
You
get out of here.
Don't get me wrong. You win the deal.
Yeah.
But it's not bad.
No. Get out of here.
Now, the fact that he had to preface it with he made a trade with a first-year player who's in, you know, week four, week
five.
Yeah, but
most of them are new. Most of them are new to the league. It's a new league.
That's too bad for them, man. You got to do your homework.
I'm trying to be a good teammate here. That's what I'm trying to do. The full fantasy football experience isn't complete unless you have trades going down, Andy.
Yes. In so many leagues, the leagues I'm in, you know what? The leagues I'm in, there's only one that does trades. It's so boring if you don't do trades.
Exactly.
Mix it up. Yeah.
Text line, Russick Rose, Brody, you guys can beat it. I went by the rule book, and I am perfectly fine with how it worked out. The text line's open for you at 960-960. Ask Andy's coming up in just a couple of moments. We'll take questions other than those of you trashing me for taking advantage of Alex in that trade. But we do have questions coming in at 960-960. But a couple topics to get with you, Andy, while we get those questions in. And we'll start with the big news of the day ahead of Thursday Night Football. No Jonathan Taylor for the Colts. What does this mean, perhaps if you're a Nyheim Hines owner, and what it means going forward for the Colts offense?
It means if you are a Nyheim Hines owner, you stumble over yourself, trip, fall, and claw your way to your lineup and set him right now. This is why you drafted Nyheim Hines. For this situation, break glass, press the button. This is why you got him. What else are they going to do with the Colts? This is a perfect opportunity. I don't care who the opponent is. He already, in his career, has proven he can be a nice flex standalone. Hasn't worked out so far this year. But he's that guy that you can be a quick out pass to for Matt Ryan. Has a bit of wiggle in between the tackles. Now, do you want Nyheim Hines being a straight ahead rusher 20 times a game? No, but he's good enough for those extended run plays. Absolutely. Nyheim Hines, great play. And if you can get ahead of in DraftKings contest too, guys, and plug and get an early Sunday contest, plug in Nyheim Hines now. Doesn't look like his value has gone up. For Thursday. Doesn't look like his value has really skyrocketed yet. He's still at $6,800. I would bet that salary rises. So if you can get into your showdown matchup with for Denver versus Indy and get Nyheim Hines in there, maybe even in the captain slot for that 1.5 times fantasy points and salary, that's what I would do.
Andy, more backfield questions, maybe perhaps. Brian Robinson Jr. designated to return for Washington. What should Antonio Gibson and Antonio Gibson owners be feeling right now?
Well, great question. And I am an Antonio Gibson owner. And the day, great, obvious, real life wise, phenomenal that Brian Robinson is even in this situation to come back. Spectacular. That's great. And he's a heck of a talent. Fantasy wise, if you're a Gibson owner, this is bad news. And we knew this day was coming. Now, it doesn't mean he's just because he's been designated, doesn't mean he's coming back immediately. So he still might have a bit of time. Now, I've been getting a lot of questions online at AndyMC81 on Twitter saying, like, should I try to trade him? It certainly doesn't help. It doesn't hurt to dangle him out there, but just realize everybody else is reading that news too. So you're going to be at a disadvantage. I don't think you have to totally bail on Gibson. Obviously, if you add another mouth to feed in that backfield, it's going to hurt. But let's think of it this way. Are they going to throw Robinson right back into the fire, full workload carry, after one, missing all that time, two, with it being a serious injury, and three, he's a rookie, and he missed camp. So you have all of that. So I don't think it's the end of Antonio Gibson just yet. In fact, if you were somebody in a league, I would maybe even see if you could get Antonio Gibson in a trade coming to your team dirt cheap. Safety net guy, you never know what can happen. Antonio Gibson could prove to still be a good hold or get back in a trade.
So you're not fully committing or saying that anybody who owns Antonio Gibson should find a first-year fantasy opponent and ship him over?
Get out of here.
get him from the first-year guy. Get him from the first-year guy. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Here we go. I wanted to ask you about Washington's division rival, the New York Giants. That wide receiver room looks like a wasteland right now. I don't really have anything to ask. I don't know that there's anybody worth asking about outside of maybe, is this a good spot maybe if you could stash a Kadarius Toney for the future, or is that just something you're staying away from right now?
Guys, I'll tell you this right now. I don't even really care that much if the wide receivers were healthy for the New York Giants. I don't really want any of them. Kenny Galladay's contract has proven to be one of the worst free agent signings in a decade. Kadarius Toney can't stay healthy on the field. This is flashy, but has hardly proven consistent. And people, the amount people were spending to go after and get Richie James, shocking. I tried to warn people. I'm like, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not good. That's not going to pay off for you. Plus, Daniel Jones is banged up. He made a lot of progress today in practice, whatever you want to take that for. Tyrod Taylor's next man up, and he's not even fully healthy. The only New York Giant anybody should be interested in is Saquon Barkley. That's it. That's all. No receivers. Don't get cute. Don't even put him in as a Hail Mary DraftKings flex play. Not season long, not DFS, nothing. Saquon Barkley or avoid the Giants.
Do we believe in what's going on with Jared Goff right now in Detroit, or is this all an illusion?
You know what? I have been, as silly as the Dan Campbell stuff has been, you know, with the biting the kneecaps and all that, this Lions team, for the record they have been pretty exciting. Like, if you're a Lions fan, you still hate it because you're losing. But they've scored the most points they have in a number of years. They're actually producing. Now, Jared Goff's fantasy line is interesting, and it's inconsistent, but we're seeing those spikes. So here's through 4 weeks. 16.5 fantasy points week one. 26.04 week two, down to 14.8 week three, up to 34.22 week five. Now you're playing New England, then you have the bye. Just by pattern, you'd think it'd be a down week. And that New England defense, we know no matter where, what state the Patriots are in, if Bill Belichick is there, it's going to be tough. I would avoid Jared Goff this week. But then after the bye, you're probably going to get a lot healthier with Amon-Ra St. Brown, depending on his status, DeAndre Swift. You have Dallas, Miami, Green Bay, Chicago, New York Giants in that next stretch. So Jared Goff could, after the bye, prove to be interesting. This week, though, I'd pass.
Matthew Stafford. Why? How? What?
Oh, man.
What do we do here? Like, I'm just going to toss out everything that ends in a question mark here because not good. Not good at all.
The whole offense. Like, this is your Super Bowl hangover from the winning team, right? This is not good. He's only touched 20 fantasy points once. That was in week two. And guys, the other two times he touched it was 10 points. Like what? This is the problem when you have an old school statuesque quarterback. I say it all the time. If you're Matthew Stafford, if he's not getting you 300 plus yards, three or four touchdowns, you're not having a good fantasy day. Well, Matthew Stafford, am I reading this right, gentlemen? No passing touchdowns in two games, two straight games. It's a debacle. The whole offense is broken. Cam Akers, too, just his yards per carry is like under three. It's disgusting all the way around. It's time, guys. If you're a Matthew Stafford owner, I think it's safe to say you want to try to move on. At least put him on the bench. Get somebody else in there. For this week, one of my top waiver wire pickups, if you're looking to stream a quarterback, had it out on Twitter at AndyMC81 every Tuesday, is Teddy Bridgewater, guys. Teddy Two Gloves.
Yeah.
Like, listen, if we're talking backup quarterbacks, you don't get too much better than Teddy Bridgewater. He has proven he can be a plug-and-play guy. He's done it in New Orleans, did it in Carolina, has great weapons around him. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, and a decent little backfield committee, that's good enough. I think Teddy Bridgewater against it with the opponent this week against the Jets is money. And coming out of Tuesday, he was only owned in 2% of most leagues. He's a super value in DraftKings, and he's widely available. So if you're a Stafford owner and you don't want to play him, and I don't blame you, I go get me some Teddy Bridgewater, at least for this week.
All right, let's get going with it. The question's already coming in at 960-960. You've got a chance to get them in here if you hurry, but it's time for everybody's favorite segment. It's time for Ask Andy.
You've got fantasy questions. He has fantasy answers. Helping you week by week in the leagues you love. It's time for Ask Andy on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, Andy, let's get it going, pal. Lots of questions in for you here on the text line. And look, we'll start where we were just going with that Rams offense question. This was the first one that came in today. Is this texter's wondering if they are okay to move on from Cam Akers in their fantasy lineup?
I'm trying not to be stubborn myself because I did draft him as well, expecting a bounce back. It just doesn't look like it's working out. Now, the question always on this is, who are you going to replace Cam Akers with? Can you keep Cam Akers on your bench? Can you afford to do that? Do you have another option? Who are you getting off of waivers? I would try, and what I'm doing is I'm keeping him on my bench for now. I'm trying to hold on and see. If someone else pops up that I love and he's the guy to drop, fine. But I'm going to try to hold on with the hope that he continues to work his way back. But I certainly would say you do not want him in your starting lineup.
Rank these wide receivers for rest of season, Andy. Half PPR. Drake London, Chris Olave, Keenan Allen, Curtis Samuel.
You know what? I'll put Olave, London, Samuel last. And who is the other one?
Keenan Allen.
And Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen has to get healthy. There's no guarantee he's going to even play this week. Keenan Allen, when healthy, is arguably the best one of the bunch, but hasn't been healthy. Chris Olave has been a gem. Now, the only question with both Drake London and Chris Olave is their quarterback situation, but Olave showed he can produce with Winston. He can produce with Dalton. Drake London got shut down last week by my Browns, even though they botched that loss. Super upset about that. But Drake London is a beast. He's a physical freak, and he's really proving that he can, as a rookie in that first half of the season, he's coming in strong. So I go Olave, London, Allen, and Samuel at the end.
I like these. We don't always get these in because it can be hard with rosters and stuff, but we got a trade proposal for you to evaluate here, Andy. Okay. This texter, someone has been offered Najee Harris for Jalen Hurts straight up, half PPR. His other running backs right now, Cook, Etienne, Edmonds, and Khalil Herbert.
Boy. See, I would like to know, does he have another quarterback on the roster? Otherwise, what are you going to do for a quarterback?
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts has been a sensation, an absolute stud. Loved him last year. Loved him coming out of college. Jalen Hurts is the real deal. So with that running back situation he's in, I like the deal for them because you're giving up something to get a pure starting running back. And even though Najee Harris might not be producing the best, still with a rookie QB, you're going to be wanting to lean on him. So I don't hate it at all. You are playing Buffalo and Tampa Bay next 2 weeks, just a heads up. Those are going to be tough games. But I would say, who are you replacing him with at quarterback? If you're taking a serious dip, then maybe not so much.
Tom Brady or Kirk Cousins?
What a world. We have to answer. I have to answer that question.
Apparently,
that's a real question.
Yeah.
That's a legit question.
Yep.
That's a legit question. And you know what? I have to say Kirk Cousins. Damn it. I have to say Kirk Cousins. I do. Ooh. I do.
Cool. I didn't think I'd see that coming.
I know. Listen, I don't want to be saying this. I don't want to be making this decision. I'd rather not. But look at the matchups. You got Tom Brady, who's Lord knows what's happening in his personal life. Maybe he utilizes that. Maybe he doesn't.
Yep.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins facing the Bears. It's a beautiful. Let's go. And it's not in prime time. So we know he's actually going to probably show up. It's back on home soil. I think he's at the highest end of QB2, and he's just the pieces, the matchup, the situation is just better for Kirk Cousins this week.
Full PPR, need two running backs here, Andy. James Robinson, Alvin Kamara, Damian Pierce, and Breece Hall.
Damian Pierce for sure. What a nice breakout. Nice breakout last week for him. Now, he had that long run, which I know you can't count on, but we've been seeing the usage bulk up over the first part of the season, which is what we want. Okay, Breece Hall. And listen, Alvin Kamara, if he's healthy, looks like he's trending that way. I would say yes, if Kamara is healthy, you go with those two. You go with Pierce and Kamara.
Should I drop Derek Carr, give him one more chance on Monday night?
Again, we got to know who you're replacing him with. If you're able to, if you're streaming QBs, and like I said, for this week, I'd play Teddy Bridgewater over Derek Carr. I would, but remember that Tua could come back the next week or in 2 weeks, right? And it's a plum matchup for Teddy, but that might not be continuing. So for this week, I like it, but who are you getting if you leave Derek Carr? I wouldn't want to be in a situation to rely on Bridgewater the whole year.
Is Zeke unplayable now?
No. Play Zeke. We come down to this. Whenever I get questions like this, I say, look, okay, if you drafted Ezekiel Elliott, you drafted Zeke with a first-round pick, okay? So that means you need to rely on him. I'd be shocked if he got anywhere after the first round. The results are not good. Let's call it what it is. But he can still get that usage needed. You are still using Cooper Rush. Dak Prescott is closing in on coming back. The grip, last report, his grip isn't where it needs to be, but he's close. Who else are you replacing Ezekiel Elliott with? Scour the waiver wire, folks. You're not replacing Zeke Elliott with the possibility. Now, the single-digit production in three of the four games, terrible. You don't want that. But he's certainly better. I would rather risk and fail with Zeke Elliott than go with some random committee guy off of waivers.
Give me three of these five, Andy. Evans, Kirk, Higgins, St. Brown, and Lazard. That's Amon-Ra St. Brown, by the way.
If Amon-Ra St. Brown is playing, and again, he's questionable, but looks like he's trending that way. Amon-Ra St. Brown is an absolute beast.
Yeah.
Absolutely love him. So if he's in, you go. Okay, give me the other guys.
Evans, Kirk, Higgins, Lazard.
Give me Higgins and you know what? Mike Evans can always find the end zone. I really like Christian Kirk. Like, he has become that possession safety net guy for Trevor Lawrence. And it's not necessarily an exciting offense for the Jags, but it's efficient. And it's turning into really good fantasy performances. You also have Zay Jones, who was out last week. And you play Houston. Now, Houston has had the Jags numbers. Take for that what you will over the last, I think, 7-8 games. Houston's beat them, whatever. But Christian Kirk, I'm a believer.
I'm just going to ask for no particular reason, but Superflex League, 2QB, pick two of these three, Zach Wilson, Geno Smith, and Matthew Stafford.
Oh, boy.
Gross, right?
We just buried Stafford. Oh, do we want Zach Wilson? Oh, I don't want to do that either.
No. Nope.
I don't like that very much. Like, against Miami? Oh, boy. You know what? I chance Zach Wilson and Geno Smith. Ooh. Whew.
Yikes.
That is not great.
All right.
Teddy Bridgewater again. Teddy's the answer. I'm going back to Teddy.
Jeez.
Get Teddy in there instead of one of them.
All right, Andy, let's go a little rapid fire, get some of these in for everybody before we say goodbye to you today. KC or Denver D?
Ooh, boy. You know what? Give me the Denver D.
Who would you play this week, Russell Wilson or Teddy Bridgewater?
I go Teddy, baby. Teddy two gloves. Let's go.
Robert Woods or Brandon Cooks this week?
Boy, I'll go Robert Woods, but they just don't throw the ball a whole bunch. Brandon Cooks, it's like the same situation he's been his whole career. He's been really, he could really boom. He could really bust, especially with Davis Mills. I don't really want to trust that. I'll take the higher floor, lower ceiling with Robert Woods.
Thoughts on this trade offer, Higgins and Everett for Mixon?
Higgins and Everett for Mixon. You know what? If you need running back help, yeah, I like Higgins a lot, but no, I think that could make sense. If you need an RB1, that deal makes a lot of sense.
If Montgomery is healthy, do I start him over Damon Pierce?
No.
Is Dobbins back to running back one status?
I'll never trust a Ravens running back fully RB1 while Lamar Jackson is there. He's the first call out running back. Yes.
Damon Harris. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, and you still have a whole plethora of guys in the backfield as well. And J.K. Dobbins still, despite a nice debut, is still not 100%. So, you know, it's a little tricky.
Damon Harris or Najee Harris this week? Damian Harris.
I'm going to go Pierce.
Thoughts on Matt Stafford right now in a super flex league with Winston and Kenny Pickett?
Ooh, so Matt Stafford with who? Winston and Kenny Pickett?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, there's just no good option. I can't really give you one.
But no, listen, you're having a bad time. With those choices, you're having a bad time. Again, you know what? Teddy Bridgewater's on your waiver wire. Go get Teddy Bridgewater. That's my answer. The rest are not going to do well for you.
I guess this one might apply for this one, too. This guy is this guy or gal streaming quarterbacks with Dak out, going with Carson Wentz right now. Would you pick up Geno or Teddy?
I would go Teddy. I would go Teddy for sure.
Last one
God,
for you.
You better do good. You better do good.
Last two for you. Half PPR. Jonathan Taylor is on the trading block. Is he worth Cordell Patterson or Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Ooh. So somebody would try to acquire Jonathan Taylor and give up those guys?
I guess so, yeah.
If it's Cordarrelle Patterson and CEH for Jonathan Taylor?
It says or.
Or? Well, for CEH, yeah. that'd be a ridiculous deal. That sounds like a first-year player in your guys' league.
Yeah, it might be. That might be Alex texting in.
For Cordarrelle Patterson, absolutely not. Patterson has been and continued from last year to be an absolute stud. Now, is he with the knee? He's on IR, right? So depends when he's going to be able to come back, and that could be a bit of an issue. So really, you're getting some banged up guys.
Last one for you. I don't know if this is confidential information or not, but do you have a survivor pick this week, Andy?
Oh, okay. You know what? I hadn't really thought about that. If I'm looking for a survivor pick, you know, let's try to go a little bit, maybe off the board. Well, not off the, you know what? Buccaneers over the Falcons. Falcons, seeing them up close versus the Browns last week and how the Browns clutched or grabbed defeat from the jaws of victory. Anybody playing the Falcons should win. I'll take the Buccaneers over the Falcons. That'll be a survivor pick.
Andy, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks for doing this as you always do every week. If anybody's looking for more fantasy football advice, at AndyMC81 on Twitter. We'll do this again next week, pal.
All right, guys. Good luck. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Andy. There you go. That'll do it. We're over time here on Sportsnet today. We got to get out of here. Flames talk coming up next with Pat Steinberg here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.